Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Rusty Quill presents.
Hey everyone, Alex Italanda here. This will be a shorter intro. If you want the full one, check out the first part of the Behind the Ostima series, which I highly recommend if you want to do this in order. And if you enjoyed the first episode and would like access to the whole series, you can do that on the Ostium Network Patreon at patreon.com/ostiumpodcast. At the $5 tier, you can get access to the 40-plus episodes of the Behind the Ostium series, plus ad-free episodes of the Ostium Network shows, and a whole bunch of bonus material. So let's get started with the next episode of Behind the Ostium, where I sit down with Dwayne Farver of the Manifestations podcast and a big fan of the show, and we talk about the ins and outs of our favorite show, the Ostium Podcast. All right, so now we're going to move on to the next part, giving some examples of good world building. Obviously, I gave one just then, but I wanted to go here where I did a little research for world building on Wikipedia and just read off their breakdown that they had for world building. So I'm just going to read it off. Despite requiring considerable work to develop enough detail for a setting to be useful, not every aspect of a setting can be explored, and instead an approach called inferred world building is often used. Inferred world building is when the author provides enough detail about the various parts of a setting that readers can extrapolate on what is written to come to their own conclusions regarding specific details that weren't provided. This is especially useful for role-playing game settings, as individual games may require certain details to be created on a case-by-case basis for the RPG story to function. So there you have inferred world building. I mean, I guess you've seen a bit of that in your D&D times, right? As an example.
Definitely. We've done a lot of on-the-fly type of stories. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can tell you the story that I shared with you about the night at the campfire.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
It was just a night of friends around a campfire, no goals to play any kind of RPG or anything, and most of us there hadn't even played. So one of them, I forget how the topic came up, but one of them asked, so how do you play D&D? So we just got talking about different RPGs, you know, there was no dice available, no character sheets, anything like that, but they wanted to play. So I just started to DM a scenario and I said, all right, we don't need character sheets because you're you. You have the skills you have. We're not going to be dealing, you know, with a fantasy setting or anything like that. But I was reading Larry Niven's Ringworld at the time. Mm-hmm. So I just started building in some of these, you know, I told them, all right, it's tomorrow morning. You wake up. We're still at the campfire, but I'm missing. I'm not here. What do you do? So it was them going around trying to find me. Am I in, you know, the nearby house, you know, things like that. And then they sort of realize that they're being followed by these black hat type characters in these piece of junk cars. There was just a, you know, on the fly type of a thing. Mm-hmm. Long story short, they get transported to a Ringworld type setting.
Oh, cool.
And they find out that's where I'm actually from, that I'm an alien from this Ringworld. But yeah, I mean, we played it probably three or four more times before either they got, all right, well, all right, now we know what it's like to play an RPG and we're done, or the story got too weird for them. I'm not sure. But yeah, everybody enjoyed it. We still talk about it.
Was this done, I mean, were you actually like just making up on the fly here, or was it, were you writing stuff down?
No writing down. It was just more group storytelling. You know, I would give them a scenario and they would tell me what they were doing. And if they needed to interact with each other, they were just interacting as themselves. So it wasn't like they had to play a character. And some,
which is good, because then it takes off any pressure with that too.
Right. Some of them had tried to play D&D with us, you know, like as a wizard or something like
right,
that. And that's where I think they had the problems, was to actually stay in character.
It sounds like a kind of a cool change from telling, you know, scary stories around the campfire and being scared after it. This way you just have a lot of fun and then you can go to bed. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I did get kind of weird there with the black hat type characters. They were right, showing up at the most inopportune times for them. Yeah. And I mean, I used like one of the most, it was like a Reliant K car. I don't know where that even came from, but I still remember that. Just because we had a lot of them in town, I believe. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there was just a lot of, they would throw something at me and I'd have to come up with on the fly. Okay, what do we do? What's the reaction? You know, how is the scenario going to unfold from here? And they did a lot of very unexpected things. And I'm like, you can't do that.
Cool. Yeah. It's almost like,
I couldn't say that out loud.
Mm-hmm. But it's almost like the writing exercise you can do where you start something off and then you have the other person continue the story and then they throw it back and you continue it off. But it sounds very fun just doing it around a group of people on the fly like that and just not knowing where it's going to go. Like a bizarre telephone game, but more interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you've got some examples, right, of some good world building series, you know?
Yeah, you had asked me to try to find some series that did really good with world building. So like Lord of the Rings.
Right.
Yeah, he created languages for the character, for the races.
Spent 50 years doing it.
true. And it shows. And Harry Potter, it's a really fleshed out world. I tend to ignore the recent
tweets. Go real quick back to Lord of the Rings. I didn't want to just mention to I remember hearing.
Sure.
One of the reasons he spent so much time on Lord of the Rings and developing the language and the world and all this was because he wanted to fill in a kind of mythology that he felt Britain didn't have compared to Greece and Rome and other countries and cultures around the world. So in his mind, as he was creating this, you know, while he wasn't lecturing as a professor, it was in his mind he was creating a British mythology that he felt didn't exist, and that's what he was doing.
That makes a lot of sense. Even though I would question that there is a pretty deep British mythology. But
well, and again, he kind of pulled a little bit into that where a lot of the wording in Lord of the Rings is Old English.
Mm-hmm. The connection definitely shows. Mm-hmm. Especially with the map too, because whenever mm-hmm. When I'm watching one of the movies and I see the map, it's not really the shape of England, but it's very close.
Mm-hmm.
There are definitely certain things on there that remind me of, you know, and it's obviously bigger, but.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
There's also the, which I admit to playing, the Lord of the Rings MMORPG online, too. That's really fun, too, where because it's a MMO, it's going to be a ton of people playing it, a lot of activities. So you do have the main kind of quest line of what happens in the story, where, and you don't actually play any of those characters. You make up your own characters separate and everything. But you can kind of follow them along, and you get cutscenes and things like that, everything going on there. But at the same time, because you're building up your character and leveling up, because they did all the full research into all the books and the history and lore and all that, and filled in all the other towns and stuff around the world as best they could. And it's fun because it's like a place way to the north called Forshell that's all like this frozen, feels like Iceland or distant Finland, like the Arctic North or whatever, and has its own. And they have like a almost Inuit or Suomi type, you know, native people there and everything too. It's just really, they had, obviously with their world building that they did there, going off of what they could with the text, they had a lot of fun. And I really enjoyed it. So another one you mentioned was Harry Potter, right? That's another good one.
Yeah, I mean, she did a really good job creating the wizarding world. There are definite laws and things that you can, you know what you can expect and what you shouldn't expect in her writing.
And it's good because otherwise it becomes a boring series of him just doing the same thing year on year out through school and fitting that same, you know, thing going on over and over again. And it could feel very repetitive. So she added more to the world and of the Muggle world as well as the magical world to bring more complexity to it.
And it was pretty regularly fed out as the stories went on. You know, it wasn't like you read the first book and you knew everything.
No, not at all.
Or you read the second book and you knew everything. But it was given, the information was given to us as we needed it, and in a good pace, I thought.
And I'd say even it's because as they were getting older and growing up, they were being allowed to do more things, be more apparent in the world, be able to do different things. They would then be able to experience that, and then you got more in each book because of that. And the one that comes off the top of my head is the little town that they can go to once they're old enough. I can't remember if they need to be second or third years for that or whatever it was. But again, being able to do stuff in the Muggle world too, and being able to do certain bits of magic and things like that as they grow older, which is a great device to, one, grow your character and make them more interesting, but also expose the reader to more of your world as you develop it. My one critique, though, is that there's no cost for using magic ever. You could, you know, make up a magic a dragon or whatever you want, and it doesn't take any toll, which is my one complaint.
I had thought about that as someone who played you know, Dungeons and Dragons. I was like, where are their spell points?
Aren't they tired? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just never, and I can, I don't want to leave, if no one's ever read the stories, I don't want to spoil anything, but
I think it's a bit late, you know, now, but yeah.
But yeah, like, it's pretty obvious why Dumbledore was a powerful wizard now, with innate ability, plus, you know, with the wand, but there was just a lot of really powerful magic that was going on all the time.
Basic one first year kid could do, technically, if they got it right.
Well, that's true. Hermione was doing magic above her grade from the beginning.
Right.
Are we ready to move on?
Yeah, I don't think we don't need to deconstruct Harry Potter, but it was a very good example of, and I don't even know, I mean, I've never read anything about J.K. Rowling or anything like that with her history of how much she might have read or experienced world building and fantasy and sci-fi and things like that. But for what started off, I think, is a simple story about a boy under a cupboard, and, you know, living in a cupboard that discovered a magical world. She did an incredible job just developing and growing it into a 7-book series that you know, change the world.
Exactly. I mean, I don't think she had ever... I think I remember reading that she didn't think it was going to be this big.
Mm-hmm. I know when I was one of the bookstores I used to work for, Copperfields, I worked for them a couple times, and I remember they were talking about when it was the second one, Chamber of Secrets, I think, came out, and she did a signing at one of the stores here in Santa Rosa, and it was, you know, average, not that many people, whatever, and then I think it was either the third or fourth book that it was like, oh, all of a sudden it's exploding and crazy, and I worked for Borders. I did one book, five, I think it was, with Copperfields, where it was a crazy release party, and then I did book six and seven with Borders with them, and I mean, I remember one of them where it was literally like our store was just like we were sardines in a can. It was just like people everywhere. I was dressed up as Mad-Eyed Moody, hobbling around, and I could barely move, and then we had the unveiling at midnight and all the things, and we were like in the center of the store with all the books, and it like was kind of scary, just like how like crowd mentality and all this stuff, and they were hungry for it and all this, you know. And I feel like it's sad in a way, because I don't think there's ever going to be anything like that again. It was truly unique, you know, for what it did to the world with reading and books.
I think it was really great how it was geared towards children,
mm-hmm.
but it really has a broad audience.
Yeah.
I like the comedian Paula Poundstone, and mm-hmm. she when she was on the road, she would call her kids at home and read them Harry Potter over the phone while she was on the road. My partner, from listening to Paula Poundstone tell that, he's like, well, you like it. And I'm like, yeah, he didn't think he would like it. So I got the books on audio. Oh,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he's got an hour drive to and from work every day.
Perfect.
And he's listened to the books more times than I have now. So,
and it's made the drive go much faster, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure we'd do very well at trivia.
Oh, and I know there's plenty of people, too, that have very strong allegiances to the audiobooks over the reading the actual books, too. They love the reader, and they're dedicated to him.
I found the Stephen Fry version. I liked that. That was really good.
I think it was a different reader they had the first time around that they were really into, I think, a lot of people. And I was just thinking, there is a... What is it? Is it Potterless? Is that what it's called?
The podcast, yeah.
Yes. Have you listened to that at all?
I haven't, but every once in a while I'll catch a tweet or two by them.
Mm-hmm.
And I did see the one where he finished the story, because I guess the person doing it hadn't read.
Yeah, it's through. I can see his face because I met him at PodCon. He was at that Paul Bay meet and greet. But that he's with what are they called? Multitude. That's the name of the company.
Multitudes, yeah.
Yeah, the group. And it started as an idea of, well, I'm finally going to start reading this Harry Potter series, and I'm going to do a podcast about it as I experience it and things like that. And it's become a hugely popular podcast.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.